You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.
Putting out our feelers for little boys.
Well, hey there, everybody. It's me, Joe Thrashenkill. You're listening to the Toilet of Hell radio show. With me today, I'm joined by the good and golden boy, the internet sweetheart. Of course, talking about 365 days of horror, or as we like to call him, Jordan. Jordan, how you doing?
Doing okay. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm even better today because we have a full house. That's right. We are stacked to the gills with dudes today because we got our good boy Brenicide back in the cut. We are ready to podcast as a holy trinity. Breno, yes. How are you?
We're back to the old sausage fest. This is how it should be, man. Just the third wheel, as I'm supposed to be, is back on the big wheel there. Do you guys have a big wheel when you were kids?
Oh, hell yeah. I was able to do drifting or whatever with that shit.
Oh, that was sick.
I wanted one, but I never had one.
Did they try to make like adult ones like years ago?
I probably, yeah.
I think those are just Jeep Wranglers.
Already with the funnies.
Boys, we got a whole lot on the docket today, you know. Before we dive into it, though, just want to do a quick roundtable discussion. Breno, I'm pleased that you're not dead.
Yeah, I tell you what, I was feeling so bad and I was so sick that I had a dream one night and it stuck with me through all those weeks where I was just like this pile of Cronenberg, like just pulsating viscera just on the like a forest floor, just clinging to trees and feeling all sorts of agony. And there were police around me just trying to figure out what to do or how to put me back together. And like, I remember waking up in the middle of the night thinking that all of those things were still true and I couldn't get up or move because I was just feeling so horrible. But I'm good today. I'm actually feeling good in that way where in the middle of you being sick, you think I'm never going to feel good again. I'm never going to stop coughing again. I'm never going to recover ever. I'm just going to live my life like this. And then one day it just kind of slowly goes away. And today is that day. So I'm back on. I'm ready to do the thing.
Excellent. And I'm afraid that's a symptom that doesn't get talked about enough in terms of what might be COVID, which is, of course, experiencing body horror.
Yeah, absolute just terror. It was awful. I was sure I was going to die. Eventually, I had to borrow medicine from my mother. And so I had to go see her, which is just, you know, I'm desperate then. So
down real bad.
Yeah, I had to grab an inhaler from her. I haven't used one of those since I was 12.
Oof. Well, I'm happy that you're back, happy that you're on the mend. Jordo, what are the haps?
I'm hanging in there. I'm about 2 weeks into dealing with insomnia, so I'm a little tired, but still doing better than Brenna was doing.
Well, we're all slightly broken. We're rapidly aging, but I think that we can get it together to talk for 1 hour about various topics. Do you guys think we can do it?
Only if it's metal news.
Keeping it fucking metal, baby.
This is the news.
Horns up.
Metal up your ass. Shredville. We're going to get into 666 different topics today, all in 1 hour.
We're taking that cross. We're turning it upside down.
Whoa.
Oh, fuck.
Blowing my mind.
So I guess, you know, there is, some would say, an ongoing pandemic.
Some would say.
Republican governors.
No.
Well, not a lot of Democratic ones either, given that the insistence that we are never, ever, ever shutting down again, no matter what. So fucking deal with it. Also pay your rent. So here we are. We have the contradictions of a deadly virus running unchecked in large populations and a complete insistence that we do nothing else different. This leads us to metal how? Well, like most things with metal, it starts with Limp Bizkit. What was the news you saw last night that surrounding the latest and greatest in the Fred Durst saga?
Well, what we can do is we can we can kind of go back to the fact that they played Lollapalooza. And this was
a week ago.
And this
We talked about Lollapalooza. We exposed how horrifically out of touch we are.
Yeah. But it was just like a mass of writhing, just sweaty, spitting, yelling, screaming, sloshing bodies all on top of each other to see, I don't know, the first show since they were able to get a babysitter in God knows how long. And I guess if you did that, especially during a period like now, you could have possibly gotten sick. And it looks to me like the news is that Wes Borland has felt very, very poorly. And during a sound check at a later show, they had canceled like before doors, Jordan had said. So
Were they playing?
They're supposed to play in Asbury Park, New Jersey. They have like summer concert series, I believe, in association with the Stone Pony, world famous Stone Pony venue. And an hour before doors are set to open, they canceled the show and canceled the rest of their tour. I think they still had a couple of dates left. And since then, Fred Durst has kind of said, like, oh, he doesn't have COVID. Everything's fine. We're just being cautious, which makes me think he definitely has COVID.
If not him, old Borland does. That's not generally something that you'd want to do, cancel a show 1 hour before doors and then subsequently the rest of your tour, especially as you're riding a massive wave of press as Limp Bizkit is, oddly enough, here at this stage in the game. Seems bad. Seems like things are pretty bad to have to do that.
But Fred Durst had a funny wig on. Let's write more articles about that.
I think that there is the discourse happening, and I hate when that happens, man. I fucking hate the discourse.
How do you hate? You do not hate the discourse. That is a bald-faced lie.
You are the discourse.
God damn it. Hoisted by my own petard. Bill Simmons produced the Woodstock 99 documentary that came out on, I don't know, I think it was Hulu a couple of weeks ago. People that I respect, for example, Murder Brian of Street Fight Radio, who was in attendance for Woodstock 99, watched it and said, this fucking sucks. It's horrible. Because it did the same thing that people did in 1999, which was blame Fred Durst for everything bad that happened. and then, of course, you have the pushback to that, which I think was in maybe from what I saw in greater force, people saying, well, actually, Fred Durst did nothing wrong. And as a matter of fact, he is a good, wholesome king. The reality is probably somewhere in the gray area there.
Yeah, center right. Yeah.
I wasn't there. I don't know the guy. Whatever. But regardless, we've created a discourse out of Fred Durst again, and here we are in this year, oddly enough. So that's the whole thing. Again, it's very, very surprising to me that they would cancel this tour. But related to our discussion last week, Fred Durst yelling out to the crowd while performing, "How many of y'all are vaccinated? Woo! Good job. That's
and they all wooed, spitting their infected spit at him."
Not enough, well, probably.
I guess not, because it appears that Lollapalooza may have been a minor to super spreader event. Time will tell for that.
Well, I mean, one of the things that was mentioned in the article was that Wes Borland was fully vaccinated before he got really sick. Same thing happened with me. I was fully vaccinated. It was weeks after I had been vaccinated, but I think that the Delta variant is just such a, it's like the viral load is 10 times stronger. There's just so much more ways you can get sick with this. So, and it happens because other people aren't vaccinated and right. carrying the shit around.
Yeah.
So I look at that mass of writhing bodies aforementioned with Lollapalooza, and I see all those people, and maybe everyone who went woo didn't have the rights to go woo.
You think somebody would steal a woo that was not theirs to woo?
Yeah, it was just like, what's that? Like false honor in vaccination?
Stolen woo valor.
Yeah.
Fucked up. That is the most fucked up thing I've ever heard.
You can't woo. That's our word. This is just going to be the beginning of more cancellations. I know we've been kind of prepping people over the past couple of weeks of like, don't, you know, necessarily plan to see that tour in September that you want to go to. Don't see this festival because it might not happen. Cycle Las Vegas, which is coming up in just a couple of weeks, have already had a bunch of bands drop off, European bands. Depending on how you feel about them, that's either a loss or a not, because it includes Mayhem and Migwa. But this is going to keep happening, possibly for another year.
Quick sidebar. How do we feel about Limp Bizkit? So everybody seemed to be really excited or really not excited about Limp Bizkit having this grandiose return and being brought back into the discourse. What are your guys' thoughts as them as a band currently, in the past, whatever?
When I was like 11 or 12 years old, I was a huge Limp Bizkit fan.
Right.
And I don't think any of their material holds up something I still want to listen to today, except for Break Stuff.
I was a massive fan when I was 12 and 13. And then when I was no longer a 13-year-old boy, I wasn't the demographic and I stopped liking it. So that's how I felt. That's how I still feel. It's just like, objectively, they've ended up on multiple lists by people that maybe, and this is, you know, the weight of this is what you can take it, but like decent people, music journalism, have called this band one of the worst of all time. They're not good. The music isn't good. I saw a lot of tweets about how it's like, West Borland is the only good thing about the band. Go ahead, pick up a guitar, look up a tablature for Break Stuff. You'll learn it in 4 minutes.
It's way less than that. The song is two chords.
Right.
It's played in drop D. It's the top fret with all your fingies and then no fingies.
Oh, that's not necessarily true. There was like a little slide down in there. It's complicated enough that I guess he's the greatest guitarist at the time, but not all around a very good band. That's just how I felt.
I know that it's for the past 20 years or whatever, Limp Bizkit has been a punching bag, or, you know, it's popular and funny to use them as your punchline for your joke about how new metal sucks or whatever, but they were by far not even the worst band of new metal.
No, of course not.
They weren't the worst band, but I think they were kind of the avatar for all of the worst cliches in new metal.
Yeah.
That was around for two or three years. The backwards Yankee hat, the stupid I'm gonna fight you, the bad rapping, you know, it was just every other band just underneath them just kind of got lumped in with just the ridiculousness of it.
I think that, you know, I guess because they were so popular that they were the lightning rod that all the criticism for lesser bands maybe would have gathered at. Nobody is spending their time shitting on Methods of Mayhem unless you're listening to this podcast.
Yeah, I guess it was just the perfect storm of nostalgia and boredom. And I think that there was millions of dollars to be made, like individually. These guys could have been set for life if they were to actually go through with this tour. But it just didn't turn out that way. They put so much money on the table not doing it. But I guess it's good to see that they're doing the responsible thing.
Yeah, I agree with that. I am sure that when they get healthier, you will be able to see Limp Bizkit at your local draft house, saloon, tavern, or whatever the fuck.
I think they missed it. I think they missed the wave. I think we're going to not care when they're ready to go.
Time will tell. I mean, I know that people still go see bands like Sugar Ray. So I think if
no, they don't.
It happens. You know, I feel like before the pandemic, every summer you had the alternative rock radio stars of 1998 tour that would pop up every time, where, you know, the parents put their kids in daycare and they go see, I don't know, fucking Fastball.
Yeah, this was a recurring thing that would happen a couple of summers. It would be Sugar great headlining with Everclear and Tonic and Fastball and, you know, Dish one or two other bands. And I think that's, we discussed it at the time, that's the way to go with some of these now nostalgia acts, is, you know, with the exception of actual big bands like a Korn or, to a lesser extent, a Limp Bizkit, these bands all have to, like, band together and do an edema, flaw, saliva, dope tour, because how many people are going to go see those bands individually unless they cram on 30 local bands and call it a festival?
Yeah, it's just good business. It's good business.
New metal, stronger together.
Thank you for putting it in a way that they can understand it. You know, Limp Bizkit, that kind of sucks for them that they had to cancel this tour last minute, but it's, you know, definitely the responsible thing to do. Let's take a look at some irresponsible things to do instead, if that's all right.
Oh, absolutely.
How do you guys feel about setting it off?
Setting what off?
It.
Okay. What, do we have a choice?
Well, I mean, you don't necessarily have to drop many suckas, but I think we ought to.
Let's do it then. It's on.
Jordan, I feel like we have spent an inordinate amount of time talking about Madball in our lives.
Which is funny because I don't like them.
I did a lot more before... Before this last year.
Before some things came to light, right? Yeah, Madball was cool. If you wanted to get like a windbreaker, you could get a Madball logo on that. That's a look.
I feel like there are times in my life where the only thing that made sense to me was something like Madball. And I think that's I'm beyond that time now. I think that's over.
It's important to remember that Madball started, the vocalist Freddie, was 12 years old, and I don't think he has matured since, because, and we talked about this a couple episodes ago, how in the spring, Madball had a show in New York City, and under false pretenses with John Joseph, the lunatic from formerly of Cro-Mags, his new band, and people, they had like 2,000 people outside at the show, just slamming into each other, coughing on each other, spitting up their gross COVID spit on each other, and didn't really seem to care about it. They just wanted to have their little hardcore show, and that was good enough for them.
I will say that if it weren't a public health hazard, that setting up a hardcore festival under false pretenses as a 9/11 memorial is very funny. Unfortunately, you know, like, it seemed like that was a bellwether of things to come, in which we discovered that all of these meathead old heads are weirdly anti-vax now.
It's even weirder when you compare it to some of the slightly older and even boomerier, like, hair metal, rock metal people of the 70s and 80s, your Paul Stanleys, your Dee Snyders, Sebastian Bachs, who are all like, please get vaccinated, please get vaccinated. So it's not all okay boomer, it's a little okay Gen Xer.
We don't give Gen X nearly enough shit in general.
Yeah. Some of the worst people I've ever met were Gen X, always.
Same, absolutely the same.
Yeah.
And what New York City is specifically doing is a lot of these venues, they're trying to kind of enforce you have to provide proof of vaccination or proof of a negative test in order to go see some of these indoor events, including concerts. And Madball is not in support of that. Specifically on Instagram, they posted a little dinky video and said, "Heads up, NYC. We've been asked a bunch if Irving," they mean Irving Plaza, venue in New York, "is still happening. The answer is yes. That said, in light of the new rules that will be implemented in the city, this will likely be the last show we play here for a very long time. Sad to say, we truly respect whatever decisions people make with their bodies, but we cannot in good conscience play shows that require personal, private medical information like vaccination status for entry. We have a special set list we're working on. The show will be bittersweet. Let's make it memorable. There's still some tickets left available, link, blah, blah, blah. FYI, the show will not require proof of vaccination since some are asking. The rule goes in effect soon after, though. And that currently has almost 500 comments. Some positive from other hardcore bands like Wisdom in Chains, who responded with respect, exclamation point, exclamation point.
This is exactly the same kind of dumb, like, I guess, like, not fully grasping anything around the situation denialism that I've seen from so many NFL players.
Kirk Cousins, people who refuse to get tested and if or to get the vaccine, rather, and if they're sick during the week, if there's enough people on the team that can't play because they're all sick, the team loses. It is a loss, and I don't think they seem to get that. Hopefully, you know, the Minnesota Vikings now don't make the playoffs because of it.
I didn't think that was going to happen to begin with.
Now they really won't.
No, like guys like Cole Beasley on the Bills, like all of these assholes that completely misunderstand, like, number one, what HIPAA is and what a HIPAA violation constitutes. Like, somebody asking you if you're vaccinated is not a HIPAA violation. But they kind of wear it like a cloak so they can continue to play this game of maybe I'm going to get the vaccine, maybe I won't. I just have questions. It's just real boneheaded shit, man. Oh,
yeah. Making me put pants on at the Hallmark store is a violation of HIPAA.
It's all of these guys are exactly like shit, that scene in Wet Hot American Summer where Paul just throws his waffles on the ground and is told to pick them up like, meh. Oh, Vaughna. real childish shit.
I just think they don't want to make an appointment. It's just like the kind of people that are stressed out about making phone calls. That's all it is.
I don't think any of these people, well, aside from the hardcore guys, because they don't have like assistants and shit, but like all of the NFL players, like they have a dozen assistants specifically to do this shit. They'll bring somebody to your house.
They'll bring someone to the fucking field. It's the NFL. I'm sure they could vaccinate on site.
Yeah, you want a vaccine, I'll get you one in the next 30 seconds.
Well, I mean, look, fuck the NFL for not saying, look, no vaccine, no play.
Yeah.
That's what everybody should do. And it's just like, fuck it, mandate it. Like, just mandate it. Or they should have done the thing where they wave the stimulus in front of the faces of people who only got vaccinated. Something like that. Like,
if we could get some extra stimmy for vaccines, I think that would be a tremendous win for society.
Right. It's just how it should have been. They shouldn't have done this fucking vax giveaway millions, enter the lottery to win $1 million, maybe if you get vaccinated. No, they should have done one of the stupid fucking measly $600, $400, $1,100, whatever random math they decided to do then checks. They should have sent those to the people that had some proof of vaccination, and the people who didn't want to get it get nothing. That's how it should have been.
At the same time, you shouldn't have to bribe people to do something that can make them, you know, live.
But they won't. I agree that you shouldn't have to, but what we've seen is that you're probably gonna have to.
but even that's not working. Giving people money isn't working. Offering raffles to get guns isn't working. People are choosing to die.
Man,
rather
did I miss
than
a gun raffle
in West Virginia, I believe.
Oh, damn.
And they're willing to die instead of getting a little ouchy for a couple of seconds and maybe feeling crummy for a day or two. So yeah, probably they should have done some sort of national thing to begin with, but you know, it's at this point you're going to have chuckleheads who want to sing songs about Doc Martens that just want to punch each other in the back of the head and cough on each other. And okay, Madball, don't play in New York. Bye.
Like, out of all the fucking scenes to be anti-vax, like old school New York hardcore being the ones that are like, well, actually, I don't know if I trust the science on this. Like, what the fuck? You don't. All you know is beating a child with a chain lock.
I think part of it is hardcore, and before it, punk has its original roots in being anti-government and or anti-authority, rather. And it's people have never moved on from that. these people are not particularly educated. They've been in their hardcore bubble for 40 years now for some of them at this point. All they know is chug, 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 yelly, yelly, yelly. And, you know, they did their research on YouTube and that's it. There's no hope for them. The only thing that might change is someone gets really sick and possibly dies, and then they realize, oh, I should probably do this. Like, you hear all about these conservative state reps it happens to, or shock jock radio people who are posting anti-vax memes 5 days before they croak.
Yeah, that Texas GOP guy, like, that's actually extremely funny.
It always is. And it sucks that's what comedy is now. Like, we have to laugh at people dying because just they cause so much fucking damage that it's like they deserve it. It's just
absolutely
just fucking spreading absolute bald-faced, complete misinformation all of the time that has mountains of verifiable, fact-based, total evidence to just get people to do the right thing. And instead, they just, I don't know. I feel like that there's always some sort of weird ulterior motive behind anti-vax people that they just won't come out and say.
Because
there's got to be. And I don't know what it is. I don't know why they're like that.
Well, some of this is that people that, you know, they're converts to this kind of thing. They're going to, you know, they have the religious fervor of believing this thing. But, I mean, it stems from people trying to make a name for themselves, trying to make a buck for themselves, and essentially turning their followers into, like, you know, little cultists. So, you know, real bad intentions from the top down.
You're going to have your goop people who have something alternative to sell.
Yeah.
So that's always going to be obvious. But when it's just some chucklehead on Facebook who reads half a headline and runs around posting like a medical paper that says the opposite of what he's claiming to everybody because he just won't read it, I don't know. I don't know why he's like that. It doesn't serve him at all, except just to be a fucking defiant piece of shit. I don't know.
I think that's the thing, just being addicted to being a contrarian dickhead.
Yeah.
I think that's part of it. I think also a lot of people like to think they're on top of things, that they have a beat on things, and that, well, fuck you, I won't do what you tell me. I've been okay for my 35 years of life. I'll be okay with this too, and then it's too late. And like I said, I don't think there's, at this point, much you can do. And when you have bands like Madball who have been around a long time and have a large following in their own little hardcore circle, I don't think they realize how much influence they have and are knowingly risking the lives of their fans just so they could see a 35-minute set. Madball tours a lot. They've been around a long time. You don't have to see them right now. They will be seen in town again.
Yeah, I've seen them like 7 times, and several of those were kind of by accident.
And it's the same thing as like conservatives just pushing for no mask mandates and whatever DeSantis is doing in Florida. You're eventually killing your own people. There's going to be diminishing returns, at least a little bit. They're losing voters. Madball's going to lose fans. I don't really think they're going to gain too many fans out of this unless they're the Tommy Vexed right wing, fuck you, I won't do what you tell me, I love freedom type people that you probably don't want at your show anyway. Yeah. They're definitely going to be punching girls in the back of the head.
Question everything.
Yeah, I mean, like, with bands like Madball, like, I believe that these are legitimately, like, kind of dumb people. Like, they're doing this dumb bullshit. They don't fully understand the you know, contradictions of their actions with like DeSantis or Greg Abbott. Like, they know exactly what they're doing. I mean, in case of Florida and Texas, I fully believe that all of this, you know, anti-COVID procedures are done in place to try to, you know, weaken or further privatize the public school system in both states. That's like a longstanding, you know, right-wing project, and they don't care if they kill their own to do it.
And I think it's also to shore up their bona fides for a presidential run.
Absolutely. You know, it's a really incredibly monstrous on like a grand scale. So, you know, I suppose that we should save our ire for those guys instead of dummies like Madball. But I mean, you can't help but say, like, goddamn, look at these clowns.
And yeah, part of it too is if you can go onto Instagram to the Madball post and say you guys are fucking dummies, Madball will respond. They're in the comments right now. DeSantis, Rick Scott, they're not in the comments section. So you could tell Freddie Madball to go fuck his stupid face and he'll see it.
So yeah, that's kind of satisfying.
I would recommend just do that. Because I know it's just like these guys are a bunch of corn lords and they're just being stupid. But I think that they have a particular responsibility as people of any kind of influence, no matter how big or small that might be. Their fans are going to see that. And if you're a typical meathead who listens to New York hardcore, XHXXCHX, whatever, you're going to look at that and be like, cool, oh, maybe there's something that I shouldn't trust here. And then it's just a snowball effect. And, you know, idiots, they're like their own virus. They just create more of themselves.
And Madball's going out of their way to promote not checking for people's vaccination status, right. It shows. And, you know, implying that people should not be vaccinated because spooky government stuff. So it's not even like personally maybe they don't think this should happen. They don't want to get vaccinated, whatever. They're going out of their way to take a bad public stance on this that can hurt people and possibly kill people.
Let me go ahead and give you a contrast to Madball from an entirely different world of music, if that's okay.
Iron and Wine.
No. I've never heard more than one song from that band, but it was really bad. I have a visceral dislike of that voice. No, Jason Isbell, a guy that I've mentioned a few times because I like his work.
Joe Thrash and Kill
doesn't like Iron and Wine.
He played a number of shows in Austin just a few days ago. Austin is in stage 5. Our shit is fucked. There are no hospital beds. So Isbell, for his performance, he said that he required for this show, if you wanted to go, you had to wear a mask in the venue. Every attendee must either be fully vaccinated or have tested negative within the past 72 hours to attend the show, which makes sense. That's something the venue should have been fucking doing on their own, but the artist requested that specifically. Which is a very responsible move to continue his career and continue making money. And that kicked up some dummies. I had to look this guy up, Mark Broussard. He's got a check mark. He's a musician. He appears to make really lame Christian Southern rock.
They always do.
He quote tweeted Isbell on this announcement and said, the unclean may not attend. The poor may not attend. The ignorant may not attend. Who knew Jason was so bourgeoisie? Thought he was a blue-collar type of guy. Never met him, so I can't say for sure. But yeah, this is some elitist shit right here. And that led to actually maybe one of the finest owns I've ever seen online, on musician-on-musician violence. Jason responds, are all of your shows free, Mark, or do you sell tickets? Man, fuck off back to the bar with this shit. I hope they turn the TVs off for you while you play. If we want to go back to the very, very early days of the Toilet of Hell, you'll recall that threatening somebody to, you know, make sure you lift with your legs, moving that oh-so-heavy pool table before you play your set is just a classic. But I'd like to add this one to the pantheon of just really cruel things you can say to another musician.
Oh, man. There's definitely a venue I go to where they don't turn the TVs off.
You got to make sure the game's on. Otherwise, your usuals will be upset.
Yeah. I've been to a few as well. Just the level of disrespect, especially, is like everybody in the bar staff is watching the fight or the game or whatever. It's palpable.
Tommy, put the Sox game on. What the fuck, kid?
Yeah, nobody gives a care. Gives a shit about, you know, local metalcore 5013. We're here to watch the fucking game. So I don't know. I think that it's funny that, in terms of, where we are with our higher, echelon musicians per genre, that country music is doing a little bit better than hardcore scene.
I hope that at some point we get to a cultural apex where shaming people on Twitter publicly just makes them do the right thing instead of pushing them in the opposite direction. I know it pushes them in the opposite direction, but it's fun.
So. Well, in the case of this particular thing, Mark Broussard, if you look at his Wikipedia page, it says here that Broussard is most well known for getting publicly roasted by Jason Isbell.
The only thing that would make that better is if there was an updated date of his death with the day it happened and an explanation of the tweet.
So, you know, is he going to double down after this? Yes, probably. But we had a good chuckle at his expense in the meantime.
Yeah, there's really no mutual understanding you can come to with it with people who are like this. That's the most frustrating thing, is there's just really, like, they got an answer for it's a non-answer. They got a non-answer for everything you could try to explain to them in order to try to guide them along to doing the correct thing to do. It's just objectivity is totally out the window. I don't know. It's a bigger problem than you or I. But it's funny when it happens in the metal scene.
In terms of the right thing to do, that brings me to, I'd say, probably the biggest thing we need to do on this show. I could not believe it has been a year, a full fucking year, still stuck in my, you know, little ass house, talking about the same kind of dummies that are going out and get everybody sick. Would you believe Sturgis Rally is back?
Like a bad case of herpes, it's back.
Just really at the most inconvenient time possible. You know, just like the virus. Sturgis is back. As you recall, we talked about it last year. We said this is going to be a super spreader event. And according to the World Health Organization, it was, in fact, a super spreader event.
I think they said it spread to 11 states.
Yes.
At least.
I believe that Minnesota actually got it the worst from these shitheads going out to North Dakota, which makes sense. I think they're somewhat close, right?
Yes, they're next to each other.
That region of the country is, you know, I have mind blindness with it. I can't picture those states.
I think we all do.
And that's why they call them flyover country.
Yeah. You don't have like a helmet or a mask or a vaccine. It's like, cause you know that the people that were at last year's, they fucking didn't get a vaccine. They didn't wear a mask that last time. Why would they get a vaccine now?
No, they went straight back to their dental practice and continued to give you, you know, crowns that you don't need without getting the vaccine.
Yeah. You can use those rubber gloves a couple times. It's fine.
But Sturgis Rally is back. I would say that, you know, we looked at the lineup last year. It was filled with has-beens, you know, as is kind of the case this year as well. But I would say there is much more heft, much more clout, bands that you could conceivably want to see this year with Sturgis, whereas that was not the case last year.
Like what?
Okay. Bands that you might want to see, right?
This is a tall order, but go ahead.
Okay. How about ZZ Top?
No. Well, wait, hold on. How they replaced the bassist just like that?
Yeah, they immediately got another guy. They said that we're just going to continue this train going.
That.
Okay.
They get Rhino from Mudvayne and just stick a beard on him.
That would actually kind of rule. Well, okay, you know, we lost Dusty Hill, so maybe not ZZ Top. How about a band that, you know, has been long running and never lost a major member? Stone Temple Pilots.
Okay.
All right, if that doesn't do, I got a band for you.
Not quite. Okay.
I'm just thinking of just gross, half-drunk bikers grinding up against their ladies to Interstate Love Song. Holding up their Budweiser bottles going, woo!
Is that the I am? Is that them?
Yeah, yes. That's them. Okay. Yeah, they had a lot of hits.
They did. They did, but that was a lot of time ago.
It was. All right, well, if that doesn't do it for you, how about this one?
Okay, I'm ready.
This one's right up your alley.
Right up it. Let's go.
Anthrax.
Oh, fuck. Really?
Yeah, man. Anthrax.
They're going to be all caught into quarantine soon.
Joey Belladonna just needs money that bad. Scott Ian needs to do more things that bad. He doesn't have enough super groups.
The residuals he's getting from VH1 must be dog shit, man.
And well, he's also in Mr. Bungle. He's busy.
Stuff
they must be getting
do.
A serious chunk of money to do this because they're not touring.
I would say that it is irresponsible at best to play Sturgis this year. Considering, you know, the current outbreak that is, it's actually, we're cresting higher waves than we did last time for Sturgis.
Every day is a new record in Florida for like the past couple days.
Oh my God. Look, I like Anthrax. I would like to see Anthrax, but do I have to watch like half of ZZ Top and then Stone Temple Pilots to see them? I don't know. And then be at Sturgis? Can you imagine?
Possibly the worst place on earth.
Absolutely.
Like, again, like if you want to see your leathery ass dentist just like fucking and sucking, like wife swapping with every other leathery ass dentist in the country, like go to Sturgis.
Just bald, balding, big, hammy, red, crayon red heads, just a sea of them with wraparound sunglasses behind the head while they're getting a load of STP and somebody who's a little too old to be showing tits.
Yeah. I mean, for this week, every year, the streets of Sturgis run black with Budweiser and biker cum. It's disgusting.
Run black with biker cum, I would say.
If those bands don't do it for you, you have other options, of course. Okay. Puddle of Mud will be there. I think they have a standing invitation for Sturgis.
I'm going to play the clip from, you know, the clip.
Easy frail, head to rail, have a clue, take it, then it's wild, hang me out to dry, rain seven in your life.
Likewise, Buck Cherry and Drowning Pool, they're there every fucking year.
Do they still have that guy that was the singer after the other guy died?
Wait, I think they're on their third or fourth singer.
Third or fourth, yeah. They just keep going through it. How is Drowning Pool? That's okay, so Limp Bizkit playing again, making millions of dollars. That makes sense to me. Drowning Pool, not at all.
They wrote a song about the soldiers. We covered this a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
That's their demographic now is we love soldiers, hut, hut.
That's because they watched that one clip from Fahrenheit 9/11 where the guy was holding his Drowning Pool CD in the tank and he was like, yeah, you know, before I shoot a bunch of people, I like to play Let the Bodies Hit the Floor because, you know, that's cool. And so they realized their demographic at that point. Just want to make sure everyone knows that.
Exactly. They went deep in it, real deep. Yeah. So, you know, there are some other bands of this ilk. For example, Saliva. You can go see Saliva.
Click, click, boom.
You could see Shinedown if you really wanted to. You could see POD. It's not a very Christian thing to do to attend a super spreader event. If you want to see a big old hypocrite, you could go see Corey Taylor.
Corey motherfucking Taylor.
Corey motherfucking Taylor. If Taylor's clean vocals don't do it for you, there's always, you can see a solo show by Vince Neil.
Now look, that's interesting that it's not Slipknot, it's not Stone Sour, but it's Corey Taylor's like solo debut music.
Yeah, Corey decided it was a good idea to play Sturgis alongside
an acoustic version of Sick.
Yes, alongside other people who have a really good idea of the right thing to do for public performances. Great White.
They just haven't killed enough people.
The Great White body count cannot be stopped.
Their insatiable lust for the dead must be satiated.
I would say that this particular artist, I would think that they were at a higher caliber than having to play Sturgis, but last year has showed me that that is not the case. I'm talking, of course, about one Bob Ritchie. You know him as Kid Rock.
I do know him as that.
So, you know, we have this particular place and time mapped out pretty well. And then we got the older guys. They're really putting their fans at stake here. REO Speedwagon.
Working overtime.
Wait, I think, was that BTO? You're thinking BTO. Yeah.
No, it is.
Same shit.
Thank you.
No, REO Speedwagon.
No, don't regret
had
me.
Way
Same
more
shit.
Hits than BTO.
Don't try to teach me things.
Don't. Not at this point in my life. I'm an adult.
All right. Well, how about Tesla?
How about Tesla?
How about Tesla?
Sciences, gotta wear a mask. I will not comply.
Did you have that one written down before the show?
No, I didn't, but that's a riff on their most popular song, Signs.
That could be a BTO song. That could be REO Speedwagon.
Speedwagon.
Again,
fuck you guys,
don't teach
okay?
me things.
Yeah.
All right. Well, how about this one?
Could be that one where the guy talks with a guitar. I don't, whatever. They're all interchangeable.
How about Queensryche?
No. That's one that's not interchangeable. That's a big deal.
Big sweaty bikers singing along to Silent Lucidity.
Yeah, this I believe this is the version that does not contain Geoff Tate.
No, he does his own thing.
I can't wait to see the Zippo lighters in attendance when that when any Queensryche song goes on. That's where bikers get like emo, you know?
Yeah, no, they really let their emotions come out on their sleeve.
They think about their first wife.
Yeah.
Or I'll miss you, Glenda.
Their favorite.
I know that this is like a punchline for us over the years, but this is a iteration of the band I was not even aware existed. How about this? Riley's LA Guns.
Not okay. Riley has his own LA Guns.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Now, I do have a question. I'm not familiar with LA Guns. Is Riley a person that was in LA Guns, or is this just someone named Riley who bought the rights to use the name LA Guns?
Oh, that looks like a Subway.
It's a franchise. They're opening up different LA Guns across the country.
Well, fuck that. I'm going to do Breno's Metallica.
I don't know that they're open to franchising opportunities just yet. You might have to stick to a LA Gun or a Queensryche for the time being.
I'll write Lars an email. He would be so down for that. Franchise, Metallica, absolutely.
Couple of other ones here. We got Black Label Society. That makes sense.
Makes too much sense.
Yeah, you know, those guys like to dress like big tough bikey men's. Sturgis is filled with people that like to dress like big tough bikey men's. It's a match made in heaven, really. Mm-hmm. Let me go ahead and we'll hit what I find most disappointing, and then we'll go to the least surprising.
Okay. Kid Rock is not the least surprising.
No.
Wow.
It's not.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. Continue.
The most disappointing to me, the Wicked Clowns boys.
No.
ICP are playing Sturgis.
What?
Number one, that's a bad fit. It's not a good fit for this crowd.
Right. You have to. Insane Clown Posse is such a niche phenom. You have to have an event that is catered specifically around them and their music.
The ICP fan base is overwhelmingly lower income than anybody that will ever attend Sturgis, because, I mean, people bring in their fucking trailers so they can ride their $40,000 Harleys that are too big for them just over the city limit sign. They're not riding across the country. They have all the fucking toys so they can play the part. These are the small business owners of the world that make your life fucking hell every other day of the week.
Yeah. Plumbers that don't show up when they're supposed to. Landscapers that park in half your fucking street. That's these guys.
Yeah, these are the guys that own the company. They're not doing the work.
No, of course not. Don't get me wrong. That's not what I mean. It's just
an age difference, too. Can't imagine too many 50-year-olds would be psyched to see rainbows and stuff.
I mean, I don't understand it. I think it's a bad idea. I think it goes in the face of what ICP did earlier with canceling the Juggalo, the gathering of the Juggalos out of concern for their own fans' safety. Unless they
figured it out, these aren't their fans, right? So it's okay.
Now Comrade I see what's ICP happening. Just taking down the petty bourgeoisie.
This is like a false flag operation. They're trying to show people like, oh, hey, come on down, come listen to ICP, come hang out, and they're trying to get all the worst people sick and dead.
See, ICP's pores are sealed shut from years of using their grease paint, so they'll be okay. But everyone else in attendance, they're the ones who are going to get sick. And then we will rise up, and Juggalos will take over the landscaping and the dentistry practices.
It's really a perfect plan.
It was prophesied, and the Juggalos shall inherit the earth, you know? Like, I think this is great.
Operation Great Malenko is in effect.
Okay, so who's
the final
least...
Joker card is deployed.
Oh, no. Oh, dear. Before we get too much into the best idea ever made, so who's the least disappointing? Who surprised you the least? Who has Sturgis written all over them?
Let me go ahead and read you exactly what it says on the flyer here.
Okay.
I'm going to quote here. Tommy Vex, formerly of Bad Wolves.
Wow.
We could not do a single episode without bringing up old Tommy V.
We're not even trying.
He's just there. He's always there.
How like is a cold sore.
Fucking guy stay in the news. How? So
he never shuts the fuck up and keeps touring when everyone else stops.
Such an insignificant person.
Yeah, like every other band that we could conceivably talk about, they did the right thing. They were like, I guess we're out of business for this year. Let's figure out some other ways to, you know, keep afloat or whatever. Well, this guy is just like, you know, kicking his foot through the door and saying, look at me, I will do this. He's there. He's omnipresent.
I hope he has like a statement to make and then we can.
Oh, he will have many statements to make and they will eat it up.
And then we will.
He's been on a real kick ranting on stage. I feel like in front of the biker crowd, he'll certainly have something to say. Vex famously claimed until very recently that he had never encountered any kind of bigotry from audiences. And I got to say, I think Sturgis is going to be the ultimate test of that theory.
Yeah, we're going to see how that plays out. But I'm suspicious of whether or not he's going to have much of a big stage. I think more it's going to be some sort of like fourth stage in one of the local bars or something.
We'll see. We'll see. I mean, he shares 100% of his politics with the average attendee of Sturgis. So maybe they'll love him. Maybe it'll be great. They'll have a big fucking makeout session and it'll be a nice chance for everybody to catch up.
Think about your average REO Speedwagon working overtime fan here, okay?
Think about working overtime.
Yeah, you're going to look at the flyer there. You're going to have a paper flyer that you printed out on your HP printer that's 11 years old, and so you can take a better look at it. You're going to put your reading glasses on. You're going to go, Tommy Vexed from Bad Wolf. Who's that? And then your biker
wife. I'm a Bad Wolf. I'm going to go see them.
Yeah, well, it's like they don't know who that is. No one knows who that is. They had one hit on the radio that was someone else's hit, and then they completely faded into obscurity completely. They have no career left in terms of like bigger musical aspirations. There's nothing there. So I'm going to assume he's going to have like seven people kind of talking to each other with a beer in their hand while he does whatever he's doing.
It'll probably be at a bar where people are already there already because... Yeah. That's what people do. They go to drink and music happens to be there. But I'm sure he'll be in a hat with an American flag on it. He'll be wearing some sort of Under Armour Blue Lives Matter shirt.
Yeah.
And they'll go, hell yeah, brother.
What I'm saying is they're not going to turn the TVs off.
No. They might lower the sound a little.
So, you know, look forward to this. As we said, just everything we said last year applies to this one. This is incredibly irresponsible. So many people are going to get sick and die because of this stupid ass fucking suck fest for, you know, middle managers.
It's just a dentist sucking fuck fest.
I hate it. I hate it a lot.
Chaps slapping against each other.
Real, real nasty shit.
Dental dams everywhere.
Oh, fuck. God damn, dude. All right. So
just the best looking dentures ever removed before performing.
Oh, God. Rather than focusing on, like, the toothless blowjobs inherent to this rally, you know, just the brown, raw skin grinding up against other poorly tattooed brown, raw skin, like everybody has a third degree sunburn. Let's talk about something else.
Okay.
Breno, we talked about it.
Joe.
I signed up for vocal lessons.
Okay.
I'm taking this shot to actually learn something at my old age. Are you going to do the same?
It's very, I usually, because I'm just like introverted and don't want to go out and do anything, I usually go for stuff that's online, like online courses. One thing I found out very quickly about vocal lessons is it's like really anatomical.
In what way?
It's very heavily about the goo and all the flaps and the what have you. That's
so it's just like Sergis.
Yeah, it's all about what you got going on down there. So, I thought that was really interesting that you have all these different names for all the disgusting crap that makes your singing song voice happen. But it sounds like you're going to see somebody or you're having some kind of like live streaming. What's going on with you? How are you going about this?
So you got to go in person for the first one and then you can do Zoom or whatever the fuck after that.
But stage 5 pandemic.
Yeah. It's you can wear a mask while you do it though.
Sure. I want to make sure I'm understanding completely how this works. Like, is the vocal coach going to have a little separator between you and just listening intently?
How can you project without while wearing a mask, though? That just makes
sense. How does that? I don't know. How does that work?
From the diaphragm.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
Just like Cindy.
Aren't you going to be a nurse?
Yeah, but I mean, like, when am I going to need to know what a diaphragm is, right?
I don't know. So, yeah, I mean, just, but I found this set of courses or set of modules. Like, you go on Udemy and it's kind of like you have all these video modules. There's upwards to like 400 of them where you just go through all these different lessons and there's a quiz, but it's all like internet based. You can kind of do it at your own pace. It's like self-paced learning. And I had managed to find the most insane maniac in the whole wide world teaching vocal lessons. He is just the most guy, and I don't think I have enough time on the show to explain what he is, but I'm going into it with the positive thought here that he's just like an obscene genius. And I should really just try to learn everything I can from him. It's been a while. I've taken a long break from it because I don't know if I want to do it anymore. But if you're doing it, I mean, I might as well get back into it. But what's your thoughts so far? What are you? How far into it are you? What are you kind of getting into here?
I got next week. I'm supposed to go in. Although now that you mention it, I wonder if they won't cancel that.
Yeah, I don't know. Depends on the teacher. I mean, it's probably really hard to make money for whoever right now. I think they might just be desperate enough to let you do it anyway.
Maybe I can just transfer that to an online one. Let me send an email after the show.
Yeah, man. It's just how it is. Is you're both going to be at each other's fucking mouths and faces. It's too much.
Well, I mean, the thing is that with this show, like, Jordan is a vocalist. That's his side gig. But you and I are a little bit left out, and it's important to me that we're able to do three-part harmonies on this podcast.
Hold on. You've heard my Megadeth covers. I am too a vocalist.
Hello, Breno. It's me, the real Breno. See, I can hear you projecting. That's great.
Megadeth. That's it. Just learn that you can do your own Megadeth ripoff band, and you'll have like a Greta Van Fleet situation, and you'll make all the money you need to make off people who like something.
Do you think that we're ready for a Greta Van Fleet situation with like 80s thrash?
We have a thrash revival every 2 years.
Yeah, but like Greta Van Fleet was actually successful as opposed to like, you know, whatever shitty band that, you know, is playing in a backyard near you.
Yeah, but like the thing about something like Power Trip is they kind of, and Warbringer, and I could go on, they all sort of brought their own edge to everything they did, and Greta Van Fleet had the right idea. Don't do that. Just shamelessly fucking cop. That's what you're supposed to do. That's how you become successful.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like, I don't want any outside influence. I just want to hear you try to rip this off as close as possible as the original was. Yeah.
Wolf Mother walked so Greta Van Fleet could run.
Exactly. Oh, Wolf Mother was a little too Wolf Mother and not enough Led Zeppelin. Greta Van Fleet, they figured it out. And they were the ones that ended up getting Grammys and getting tons of radio time, and fucking now they live in mansions and they drive Ferraris, all because somebody else did it first. And all they had to do was just, I don't know. Look, I'm almost impressed of how they dialed in the exact tone. They practiced the exact vocal fry and fucking everything. It's kind of worth acknowledging in a positive light. They get a lot of shit, but really just such a carbon copy of another band. It's almost something to look up to.
When we talk about this, like it makes sense. Like all of that makes sense. It's a attack you would take. I guess what I'm kind of surprised at is that there hasn't been any David Lee Roth era Van Halen ripoffs in recent years that have made it, you know?
I don't think anyone wants that. I think probably you'd be better off with something like a Nirvana or...
Yeah, I mean, a lot of bands tried to do something kind of similar, and nobody could ever get it quite right.
Oh,
or they
yeah.
were trying to do a different thing, or they weren't good enough at their instruments, and I don't know. Like, it's all just... That's the kind of shit that led to, you know, shit like Shinedown, I guess.
Exactly. You took the words right out of my mouth. If you shoot for the moon, you'll end up among the stars, which is the most astronomically wrong saying ever, but you know what I'm saying. It's like if you say okay, we're going to copy Nirvana to a T, you're probably going to make a popular enough, shitty enough band that you will have success. That seems to be the formula. So I'm saying that we got to pick a band right here and now, and it's up to Jordan. What's the band that we're going to rip off to make our Mega Millions?
I mean, Metallica seems to be the most logical thing to do.
That's fine.
But we have to pick an era. That's very important.
Oh, Master of Puppets, right?
Yeah. Oh, I was thinking Load.
Just do Enter Sandman 10 times.
You're wrong. You're not wrong. If you do the Black Album era Metallica, that is the single most successful Metallica. That album right there, that snapshot in time, that's the moneymaker right there.
And there's cross appeal because you'll get your actual metal fans, and you'll also get people who are at ice hockey games who need 10 seconds of music because silence is not acceptable, and you could just play one of those songs.
Right.
I guess what's getting me here is why has there not been a wildly successful band ripping off the Black Album? I feel like we would have heard that by now. Did we just use all the riffs, or are there no riffs left?
Rock is out right now.
Yeah, nu metal tried to do that, I think, but they couldn't because they had to get all weird and rape culture-y about it. That's how you got Limp Bizkit with chin beards and backwards hats. It's just the waters got muddied too fast. Everyone was trying to be too original.
Nu metal really got way too focused in all of the acts pretending they had some form of extreme mental illness, which is, you know, famously not something that Metallica did.
I think you just need a manager or even a record label to find a couple of youngish, good-looking kids.
Not us.
Obviously. To do these songs. This is what you do. The song is going to be 3 minutes and 35 seconds. The chorus is going to be some saying that we use every day that people know automatically, ready or not. There you go. There's your chorus. You say it four times. There's one little quick solo that's 15 seconds long, and we're out of here.
I guess my question is here, why don't we put this into action and we start, you know, putting out our feelers for little boys to play our band?
Do you want to say something about feelers for little boys again?
I'll send a message to Trip Eason and see if he knows anyone that's available.
We're at time, and I think that's the best place.
And on that note,
the police are at my door, so I gotta get going. Hey, if it's okay with you, the band I'd like to play today to close out the show is a little band called Alucard.
That's all right.
Dracula spelled backwards.
Yeah.
Whoa. This is very much in the vein of Devil Master. Songs about Castlevanias and such, very rough recorded, real nice sounding boys from Finland. I like it. I like it a lot. I hope you guys do too. And please don't tell anybody about my little boy's comment.
If we're not going to just make sure that's recorded with reverb and put all over this
start of the show, end
podcast,
of the show.
End of the show.
It's going to be on the t-shirts we sell around Christmas time.
That's right. All right, everybody, keep it metal, keep your feelers out for some little boys, and we will see you next week.
All right, good. We did a good show putting out our feelers for little boys.
Listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Putting out our feelers for little boys.